Greater Kalda 1. Benchalim Nidam, the Survivor. Benchalim Nidam flew through the massive halls of the only place he had ever called home. Every hall looked the same, made of white stone and lined with intricate stonework that glowed with coursing light. This particular corridor was untouched by the vile invaders. A ping echoed through the hall, heralding the shift.
"I must hurry,"
he thought, pressing his arms against his sides while straightening his tail and quickening the flapping of his translucent wings. He flew faster, his wings alternating between flapping and folding. The shift happened all throughout his home, changing the hallways and blocking off certain rooms. This particular shift would make the route back to the higher floors much longer, and Benchalim Nidam didn't want that. Lines of orange light shone from the walls ahead of him, indicating the spot where the shift would occur. After several wing beats, the hue began to redden.
"Straight, straight, left, straight, right," he thought, recalling the new path that would lead to the next floor.
Two pings rang through the hall as Benchalim Nidam bounded through the air. The light became bright red. A hum resonated from the walls, floor, and ceiling just as Benchalim Nidam crossed the line of light.
"Phew!"
he exclaimed, throwing his arms wide and relaxing his tail. He slowed his flight, fluttering in the air as the corridor changed behind him. It was fun racing against the shift. The race reminded him of happy times, times before the vile invaders.
"Oh, Father,"
he lamented, a frown forming at the end of his trunk. Benchalim Nidam missed his father, but he would have to cry later. Saddened, Benchalim Nidam flew through the halls, following the new path that led to the next floor. As he rounded the last bend, Benchalim Nidam saw part of a battlefield. Though the stonework looked pristine, dead invaders littered the floor beneath the stairs. They were clad in red metal clothing that looked uncomfortable. Some of them had a weird picture on the metal covering their chests, a creepy creature with lots of heads. Sadness turned to anger as Benchalim Nidam fluttered above the corpses.
"Evil things,"
he growled, his anger boiling. The invaders were giants when compared to Benchalim Nidam. Granted, he was only half-grown, but even if he were fully grown, they would still be almost twice his size.
"Ugly things," he spat.
The invaders had flat faces with a tiny, stubby thing protruding between their eyes and mouth, and their skin was pinkish, and some had blemishes.
"Weird skin."
Unlike the invaders, Benchalim Nidam's skin was a beautiful shade of gray, with a hint of green. The invaders had arms, but instead of a tail below their waists, they had things called legs. They didn't have wings, either. His mother had called them some name, but Benchalim Nidam couldn't remember what it was. He was content to call them invaders. Benchalim Nidam flew up the stairs, passing more of the dead. He didn't know why there were stairs in his home. His people, the Tuladine, had no use for stairs. The invaders seemed accustomed to them. More dead invaders lay beyond the stairs, but he saw fewer the farther he flew. Twice the invaders had come. They were stopped the first time, but not before killing many of the Tuladine. The second time that they came was much worse. That was when Benchalim Nidam's father had gone missing, and all the full growns he had ever known, besides his mother, had died. But Benchalim Nidam had not found his father among the dead Tuladine. So Benchalim Nidam began searching every hall and every room. Well, as much as he could. The most recent invaders had let out a monster. The monster and the shift made it difficult for Benchalim Nidam to search for his father. His mother insisted that his father was dead, but Benchalim Nidam didn't believe her. He couldn't believe her. But after checking almost every hall and every room, he began to wonder if he was wrong. Fanchalam Nidham fluttered around a corner as faint scraping echoed from far down the hall. He gasped, but quickly closed the lips at the end of his trunk. The scraping grew louder and was accompanied by heavy breathing. Those were noises the monster made. "Not that way!" Swallowing hard, he spun and fluttered back toward the stairs. Fanchalam Nidham had run into the monster several times, but each time the shift had saved him. The monster was big, much bigger than the invaders. It barely fit in the halls and could probably eat him in one bite. That made Fanchalam Nidham shudder. He had seen the monster a long time ago when helping his father check on all the rooms of their home. His father had said their people were watching the monster and others like it, making sure they stayed in their cylinders because they were dangerous. Fanchalam Nidham thought it was stupid that they kept dangerous things in their home. It just didn't make sense. "Which way do I go now?" Frantically looking about, he zipped around a corner away from the stairs, but the scraping noises continued growing louder. He had to find another way. Fanchalam Nidham fluttered past an open doorway, glancing through it. Could he hide inside there? It was a large room with a really tall off-white cylinder at its center. The cylinder had a big, ugly creature in it, but not quite like the monster behind him. "No, not in there," Fanchalam Nidham thought, fluttering farther down the hall. The scraping and the breaths grew louder. The monster was getting close. Fanchalam Nidham pressed his arms to his sides and straightened his tail. He had to fly faster. The hall ahead of him was long, really long. "There are no other hallways," he thought in desperation, fear tightening his stomach. The scraping continued to grow louder, but then abruptly ceased. Fanchalam Nidham swallowed hard, fighting the urge to look behind him. But he couldn't resist for long. The monster sighed heavily as Fanchalam Nidham peeked over his shoulder. Only half of the black and orange-colored monster was in the hall. Its long head was turned away, looking toward the stairs. It leaned forward, bracing itself on four of its six arms. The thing liked to do that. When it moved, the monster used its legs and arms. Fanchalam Nidham's mother had called it galloping. Weird word. A ping resounded ahead of Fanchalam Nidham, and the monster spun, showing its hideous face and its frightening purple eyes. Fanchalam Nidham screamed, flapping his wings faster. Rapid scraping noises echoed behind him as the monster darted through the hall. "Faster," Fanchalam Nidham thought, searching for the shift. Orange light shone down the hall. It was far away, but he might just make it. A bellowing laugh echoed behind Fanchalam Nidham as the scraping grew louder. Two more pings filled the hall as Fanchalam Nidham neared another doorway, the last door before the shift. Oh no! He had been taught that if he hadn't reached the last doorway before a shift, that he should wait. But he couldn't wait, not with the monster chasing him. A gust of hot air blew against Fanchalam Nidham's tail, and he glanced over his shoulder. The monster was right behind him. The hideous thing cackled as two of its arms reached toward Fanchalam Nidham, its claws ready to grab him. Fanchalam Nidham screamed and closed his eyes, flapping his wings with all his might. The hum resonated from the walls, floor, and ceiling, seeming to last forever. Something brushed against Fanchalam Nidham's tail as the hum ceased, but he kept flying forward. The scraping was gone, and so was the scary laugh. Still flying furiously, Fanchalam Nidham glanced over his shoulder. What was once a long hall was now a solid wall, and the monster was gone. It hadn't made it through the shift. Heart racing, Fanchalam Nidham ceased his hasty flight. He fluttered his wings, gently landing on the floor by curling his tail beneath him. "I made it," he said with a gasp. Fanchalam Nidham rested on the floor for a while, staring at the hall that was now a wall. "I should return to Mother," he whispered, looking around. "Now to figure out where I am." After regaining his composure, Fanchalam Nidham made the long climb to the roost. Unlike the rest of his home, the roost was filled with all kinds of plants. He soared over teal grass and rustled the beautiful bushes. He zipped around the tall buildings that held the rooms for all the different families. Those used to be full of other Tulidyne, but now they were empty. He soon found his family's rooms and flew inside.
"Mother," he called, "I'm back."
He flew through a tunnel to the room with her bed. His mother lay with her wings wrapped around her. Her black eyes were half open, and she blinked slowly. The black spots on her reddish wings hid most of the wounds caused by the invaders.
"Inshallah," she called hoarsely, leaving off the last part of his name. "Come here."
Fenchalam Nidham fluttered toward her, lowering himself beside her bed.
"Yes, mother?"
He rested his hands on hers while coiling his tail and stilling his wings.
"I was calling for you," she said, not sounding amused. "Were you searching the halls again?"
"Yes, mother. I still can't find father."
His mother coughed and shook her head.
"That is reckless. Orath Issian is still on the loose."
She coughed again.
"Besides, you won't find your father. He's gone."
"But he's not with the other dead."
His mother shook her head.
"You need to forget about him. Go. Leave this place. Join the other younglings."
She coughed and gasped for breath.
"Before they get too far away."
Fenchalam Nidham frowned. He was not going to abandon his father, not with the monster roaming the halls. His father was not among the dead, so that meant he was still alive, right?
"I hope he wasn't eaten."
Fenchalam Nidham quickly put that thought out of his mind.
"He must be hiding. Yes, hiding from the monster."
"No, Fenchalam. Your father is gone. You would not understand his fate. Now please, obey me."
His mother was trying to sound stern, but her voice was weak.
"Once I die, there will be no more Tulidyne left in this place. Only our kind can escape this prison."
Fenchalam Nidham frowned. His home was not a prison. Why did his mother insist on calling it that?
"If you do not leave, my son, you will endanger not only yourself, but the rest of this world. The prisoners here are some of the vilest to ever walk the face of Kaldar. They cannot be allowed to escape."
She studied Fenchalam Nidham for a moment and spoke again.
"You must leave. These humans and Kisha do not know the dangers they could release, and if they invade again, there will be no one to stop them."
"I'll stop them," Fenchalam Nidham declared. "I will fight them, mother."
She shook her head.
"You are too young, my son. If they come again, they will come with another army. Even if you were full grown, you would not stand a chance against—"
She coughed again, more violently this time. His mother extended a hand, shakily reaching for his arm.
"Please, Fenchalam, please leave."
Fenchalam Nidham shook his head.
"I will not leave without father. He wouldn't leave without us, so I won't leave without him."
His mother's eyes closed, her hand sliding down Fenchalam Nidham's arm.
"Mother?"
he asked, shaking her hand. She didn't respond.
"Mother!"
he demanded.
"Mother!"
Fenchalam Nidham lifted his mother's hand, but her arm was heavy and limp.
"Mother!"
She still did not respond.
"No,"
he whispered, and tears trickled down his trunk to his lips.
"No, mother."
Was she really gone?
He climbed atop his mother's bed and shook her, but she didn't move. She had told him many times that she would join the rest of their people in death. The invaders and the monster, that Orath monster. had killed those of the Tulidyne that could have healed her.
"Mother!"
he shouted, more tears streaming down his trunk. He wailed, burying his face in his mother's wings. Wings that would never flap again. Fenchalam Nidum didn't know how long he wept over his mother. Eventually he climbed down from her bed and fluttered from her room. His home suddenly felt very lonely. He thought upon his mother's words, wiping the tears from his trunk.
"I don't want to leave."
This place was his home. He had never left it. But then he thought of that Oreth monster.
"My home isn't safe," he whispered.
If his home was ever going to be the same, he would have to get rid of the monster. His mother's rod, a weapon that could fire purple blasts, caught his eye.
"I'll fight it!"
Though he was small, he knew all the secrets of his home. The monster didn't seem to quite understand the shift.
"I'll use the shift against it," he said,
fluttering over to the rod. His mother's helmet and clothing lay near the weapon. The clothes would be too big on him, but he could use the helmet.
"I'll defend my home," he said resolutely.
He grabbed the helmet and put it on. Its brim hung partway down his trunk, and he could barely see.
"And if those Human and Kiki invaders come back, I'll stop them too."
When the first invaders had come, they were unaware of the shift. Surely he could use the shift against any new invaders, too. Filled with determination, Fenchalam Nidum picked up his mother's weapon. The rod was awkward to hold, but he managed to grip it with both hands. Fenchalam Nidum tilted his head back, adjusting his mother's helmet so he could see.
"All right, you evil invaders and scary monster, come and get me," he declared,
flying from his family's private rooms. He would defend his home, and he would find his father. With a renewed resolve, Fenchalam Nidum returned to searching the lower levels of the only place he had ever called home.